UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for Mortgage X's and O's, a winning playbook to get you home, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Happy Sunday, Louisville, Kentucky. It's Jeff Vertanipul with Stockton Mortgage and your host of Mortgage X's and O's, the winning playbook to get you home. We're here every Sunday from 9:30 to 10 to educate, entertain, and inform you about the real estate buying process. Just feel so blessed to have our guests that we get in here from time to time because, as you know, we get a lot of good nuggets downloaded to us. So, unfortunately, Mike is on vacation enjoying himself somewhere. I think he went somewhere sunny, and while we're here working in the studio, Mike's out there playing. So happy Sunday to you, Mike. I'm sure you're listening in from wherever you are. Reminder before we get our guest introduced is we're still having that contest to where we're going to have one lucky listener come to Mike's pool party. What we need you to do is text pool party to 502-439-7798. Please limit that to 5 entries, and we will have a drawing here at the end of the summer and let one lucky listener come out and hang out with me and Mike at the pool. We're going to have a great time. We're talking about maybe even doing a show out there. So that's our cleanup stuff. You know, we don't get to nearly talk about as much stuff with Mike not here, but you know what? We're thinking about him. So we are, again, so lucky to have this guest come down this morning. He is the founding partner of 6 Degrees Real Estate, a fantastic leader in the industry. Really excited to have you. Jonathan Klunk, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
So I know you're a big fan of the show. Probably listened to everyone, got them all saved somewhere, right?
Would not miss an episode.
Well, as you know, in the very beginning stages, we love to let our audience get to know who Jonathan is. So In just a second, I'm going to hand the mic over to you. And we would love to hear the story of Jonathan. Where did you grow up? Where did you come from? How'd you get in the area? You know, how did you get in real estate? What big projects are you working on? And you just let it flow, my friend. Just let it go out. So the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I got to the area by birth. born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. Grew up in Valley Station. Actually lived on Dixie Highway. Right. Fun fact, my neighbor was like Kroger. So I went to a small Christian school for 12 years, graduated from there, hit the ground running, you know, took the world by storm, had my fingers in a lot of different things, but fell into real estate very organically. I think, you know, kind of like most people like to get into the job that they have. That means that you love it. That means that you're good at it. But everything was organic. Prior to real estate, I was in technology sales for several Fortune 500 companies. And then my partner and I, we went out on our own, started in the short-term rental business after having some success as an early investor in that space.
Okay.
So still had our full-time job, working Airbnb, short-term rentals on the side, hustling, learning about that. So all of that started as a side hustle, you know.
Okay.
Got into it, very successful, talking to other people about it, and then they wanted help. You know, Airbnb was the buzzword. They wanted to get into that also. So we did consulting, got them up and running. Once we did that, they realized exactly how much work it was. And they said, we want to do this, but we need help.
Mm.
So management company, you know, just kind of grew out of the need for that in the marketplace. There was no playbook for it. I did not know it that anybody else was doing that in other states or other markets. So we just designed it from the ground up the best way that we knew how to do that and tweaked it as we went along. One thing led to another, and I was introduced to my partners over at 6 Degrees. And after having my real estate license for a couple of years, really didn't have too many sales under my belt, though. I mean, it wasn't until the pandemic even hit that I started selling real estate. Before that, it was all property management, all short-term rentals, and two sales. That was it.
Okay.
But, you know, the pandemic
hit. Two's more than one.
Two is, yeah, that's it right. is, actually. Yeah. Yeah, mathematically speaking. So, you know, the pandemic hit, and I'd sold two houses. We just had to refund about $1 million worth of guest reservations because they just, you know, they just went south. And we didn't really know what the future held for us. You know, I didn't know if real estate was going to be great.
Yeah.
In hindsight, you know, it was a great time to really get into it. So just started using social media, marketing, marketing myself, and, you know, things just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, man, what a great story. So I got to back up and unpack some of this, okay?
All right.
So you're a South End guy, right? Yeah, yes. From Valley Station, Dixie Highway.
That
so
is true,
was
yes.
it Portland? What was the Christian school you went to?
I went to Beth Haven.
Beth Haven, okay. So
Beth Haven Bearcats.
And I have to, you know, obligatory, well, that's my power word for the day, because we're on ESPN radio. Mm-hmm. Athlete at all in your younger days, growing up and going to school?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Little
what
basketball.
Sports?
I was terrible at it. But, you know, I had 26 people in my class, so if you weren't playing sports, you almost didn't have a team. So we were surprisingly good in all the sports that we were in, but I was a little bit more on the back end, the administrative side. So I ran the clock at the scoreboard at the ball games. I kept the books. I traveled with all the teams, and, you know, guys and girls. We're just such a small team. So I was more like the right hand to the athletic director.
So when they see the NCAA commercial that says, our athletes go pro in something other than the sport they played, that's probably going to be you, right? You did not want to make a sports deal out of your career in the future.
Right. Actually, growing up, I wanted to be an athletic director for like a college.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a good use of my skill set. And I really did appreciate sports then. Still do. Still follow all the local teams. You know, we have friends who are in the industry as well. But I wouldn't say that I'm like diehard. But when I get there, you wouldn't know the difference because I kind of am when I'm live and in person.
Yeah, man. You go for it, right? You're in the moment. You're giving 110. Yes. That's awesome.
Screaming, lose my voice, you know, all of that.
So what's your favorite sport?
I mean, I'd say, you know, basketball is easiest to watch. I know all the rules. I can follow it. But, you know, I usually like the bougier sports, you know, like golf, tennis, you know, stuff like that where, you know, has the, you know, clubhouses and things like that. Yeah. And I've grown to appreciate those a little bit more.
Yeah, amen to bougie sports, man. You know, I've tried to play golf. I quit every time I play, you know, but I hit that one shot that brings me back to say, all right, it was worth getting out here in nature and all that other stuff. Plus, I decided you just don't take yourself very seriously because the golf you see on Sunday, those are professionals, man. They hit thousands of balls a day. So I just remind myself I'm not a professional. So I'm with you on that. All right. So you get out in the real world. You're ready to take on whatever you're going to take on. It leads you into the real estate. Talk a little bit more about this property management, because I think that's really an up and coming thing, interesting thing. I've done a couple TV shows and we've focused on Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. And for people out there that let's say they're listening for the first time and they've heard of Airbnb, give us a very short, simple way to describe an Airbnb for somebody. Can you do that?
Sure. Well, you know, I think a legal definition is anything that's rented for 29 days or less.
Okay.
So once you hit that 30-day mark, it's no longer a short-term rental. The laws and everything around that don't apply anymore. So it's, you know, it's a residential use, but kind of mimics more of a hotel than a residence itself, because people are usually transient who are coming. You know, they see pictures online, kind of like Zillow. They're like, oh, yeah, I can commit to 2 or 3 days there. They book it. They show up with their luggage. It gives them an introduction to the area, because you'll find that, you know, Airbnb and short-term rental properties usually exist in areas where hotels do not. Mm. We don't see as many of them right in the central business district downtown in Louisville, where we have a lot of hotels. But as you go into Nulu, you know, much easier barrier to entry to overcome to bring a 3-bedroom, 2-bath property on the market as it opposed to, you know, a 30-room boutique hotel. That takes a little bit longer.
Yes.
So we can get to places faster and start opening up those tourism channels and supporting local businesses faster than hotels can get there too.
Man, that's a great description. And really, you know, the value add for renting a home short term is you're going to have all the amenities like a kitchen and a backyard and things that you wouldn't have at a hotel, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would say Airbnbs have really shot up in popularity. Like I read a statistic somewhere that they were saying that there were more Airbnb rentals at the Derby than there were actually hotel rentals. You think, is there truth to that, you think?
I would say so, because Derby is that time of the year where people rent out their primary residence and get out of town, you know, to make a few hundred, few thousand dollars. So there's a plethora of properties that come on the market that aren't here year round. So, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And to your point about having the amenities, the full kitchen, the backyard, all of that, that's really what separates short-term rentals from hotels. And it was extremely evident during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because nobody was staying in hotels.
Right.
They just kind of shut their doors. But
yes.
Short-term rentals, you know, were booked in areas like the mountains and, you know, very touristed areas. And they were faster to come back to the market than hotels were also.
And is it true a person could take their primary residence and convert it into an Airbnb? So let's say you had a job where you traveled 2 weeks out of the month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're at home the 1st through the 15th, but 16th through the 30th on your road. Technically, you could turn your home into an Airbnb for 2 weeks a month and rent it out while you're gone.
You can do that. A lot of people have jobs that, you know, have them gone for 2, 3, 4 months at a time. Like if you have a residence here, but you're a travel nurse or something like that, there aren't a lot of restrictions on the amount of time that you can rent it out as an owner-occupied individual, as long as it, in fact, is your primary residence.
So we're gonna kind of go down a rabbit hole, but I think it's related, sort of.
Okay.
So I just took my daughter about, you know, 3 weeks ago up to Boston for graduate school, and we dropped her off to live for the next year and a half, which that was tough. But while we were there, I Ubered everywhere,
right?
And so these were people who took their personal car and basically turned it into a taxi and made money, right? And so years ago, that would have, the very first question anybody would ask is, how do I get a taxi? But now you get the app, you put in Uber, and then you tell where you want to go, and then someone shows up, and it's completed just like that. So it's sort of in that same kind of vein, right? You're taking the asset you have and turning it into an income-generating thing that may not have to be going out and being a full-time investor, buying the house, worrying about maintaining it, right? It is it is that you can put your house up as that kind of rental, sort of in the same vein, kind of.
Yeah, you can do that. And there's actually another model called short-term rental arbitrage,
okay,
where people go out and they don't even own the real estate. They rent property. They have an agreement with the landlord where they can sublet it on sites like Airbnb, VRBO, and they essentially just make the difference there. Now, that's a riskier type of operation, in my opinion, because you don't have the appreciation of the property, the depreciation. You know, you're making money one way,
yeah,
and that's the difference of your income versus your expenses. You don't get to capitalize on the other two. But in markets, you know, like Miami, Dallas, a lot of big companies have made their entire business not owning real estate, but just being able to operate in that model.
That's that. I've never heard of that. That's insane. So is it kind of like I lease a place, I don't own it, and then I just sublease it while I'm gone, the same way that a Airbnb works, and I just make the money off of that, right?
Well, this would be a full-time short-term rental.
Okay.
So
okay,
you don't even have to stay there. Some people go into apartment complexes, and if they have, you know, if it's zoned correctly and they can do short-term rentals, let's say they have 10 units available, they might grab all 10 of those, negotiate a much lower rate because, you know, they have it rented for long periods of time, which is what they want. They have to pay for the utilities, they have to pay to furnish it, and essentially they're getting bodies in, getting bodies out, and just, you know, keeping the difference.
Nice.
Some markets, that's very lucrative.
Yeah.
I think in Louisville's market, our margins are a little bit tighter, so
yeah,
it's better if you own the real estate. You're going to come out a little bit more ahead.
And everybody, don't get too excited here, but I'm going to share all of Jonathan's information at the end, so you're going to be able to talk to him about how you can go about taking advantage of some of these money producing deals here, because I'd never heard of short-term rental arbitrage. It sounds like something that wouldn't be fun to do, but man, it seems like you can make some money doing that, right? It depends on the market, though.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Never been part of our business model, but, you know, ours is kind of similar because we provide management services on that side. So we don't own the asset either. So we're kind of a service on demand with property management. So, you know, when the pandemic hit as well, we were like, you know, well, we don't still have to make these mortgage payments or utility payments, you know, but we're still providing that service. So
yes,
we tried to make sure that our clients, you know, they had those month-to-month renters in there covering all of their bases, so they weren't making as much money, but they also weren't losing that money.
And that's how you cut your teeth into this, right? Like,
sure,
you started out as a property manager. So describe a little bit how would you find the people? How did you recruit them? Like, did you have like one a company that said, okay, all of these properties are under our management. We'll make sure that we'll coordinate all the things that, that you as the homeowner don't need to worry about, right? For a fee, basically.
Well, the way that we got started was individual property owners.
Okay.
So one person had one property.
Okay.
They saw how it went, and then they were thinking, hey, I have another property over here, and I'm thinking about turning that one into a short-term rental as well. So back then, you know, we were able to help them furnish it, get it up and running. I don't have that luxury of time anymore to be able to do a lot of that, but I can certainly educate and help coach around that and make introductions. Then we started meeting people who were early on in short-term rentals as well. They were early adopters, and they were self-managing, and it was just taking up a lot of their time, and they were glad to know that there was somebody that now they could kind of turn that over to. And in some regards, they were our best clients because they understood what we were doing because they had been managing that property for so long.
On their own.
Now we're to the point where people are buying properties exclusively for short-term rental operations. So we have to look for ones that have permits, look for ones that are in the right zoning so that we can help them bring that to market. But we just sold a property to an operator who has them in Nashville, has them in Memphis, has them in Joshua Tree, California. They have about 8 or 10 across the country, and that's their primary source of income is the revenue that they receive from these properties every month.
Man, that is so interesting. And you mentioned earlier that you looked around and there wasn't a service like that. You know, like you were trying to find it and you couldn't, and that's how it spawned your management company.
And there was no playbook for it, nobody that we could reach out to and say, hey, what are you doing about this or in this space? How are you designing this? Because we were so early that Airbnb used to split the income that came out. They would pay X amount to us for managing, and then X amount to the owner for having the property. And then whenever they did away with that, we had to change our entire business model where we're collecting and we're paying out. So now we had to have accounting systems and spreadsheets, and there wasn't even software for automating these services. Until we had about 30 properties, we were sending out every single message to every single guest. So automation also changed our business. The people who get in today, whether they have one property or five or more, they benefit from a lot of the stuff that
The systems you put in that you were able to put in place now make it easy. Turnkey, really. Someone could say, Jonathan, we got this property. We want to add it to your list that you manage and send me the check.
It's easy to drop it in. Mailbox money is what they call it.
All right. So that was going good. Sounds like that was going really good. And then you transitioned. You met the 6 Degrees real estate folks. And I do think it's good you did two transactions as a real estate agent. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be in the game, you got to at least. Now, let's talk about them for a minute. Was it. What was that like? Totally different, right? Because I would imagine, you know, you set up your management company and, you know, the hard work is in the setup and then you put it in. But man, these individual real estate transactions, man, it's like herding cats, right?
Well, I mean, actually, it was a welcome departure for a moment because we had 7 full-time employees, 15 cleaners, a linen company. We had to, you know, stock all the inventory, do everything. So it was full-time business for a lot of people because we had 75 properties under management. Mm. And we were the 5th largest hotel in Louisville just based on number of beds.
Okay.
So it was a complete shift for us, but the first thing that I realized is that, you know, I had a knack for it and I was pretty good.
Okay.
And at the same time, you know, whenever you're done, it's transactional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to maintain that relationship with your client, but whenever you close that, you get a check.
That's it.
And I'm looking at that check and I'm looking at how hard we work over here for what we earn. I'm like, I think we can, you know, supplement this with this other business over here. So let's kind of have two lanes running at the same time.
Okay.
So that's how we kind of started helping people to acquire and to sell their short-term rental properties as well.
I see. Boy, that's smart. So the 6 Degrees, that is the new entity. That's the one you're operating under now.
That's a real estate brokerage. Yes.
So real estate brokerage. So you're providing all those services, rental property management, and then buying and selling. And it doesn't have to be a rental property, right? You'll work with whomever, but you get along. I mean, part of your database is people that rent or out their homes. Mm-hmm. And so they come to you when they want to acquire new or maybe sell one or whatever that is, right?
Right. The short-term rental business is called KeySource Properties.
KeySource, okay.
Yeah. And so that's a separate entity.
Okay.
All of the real estate transactions that we do in our real estate marketing run through the brokerage 6 Degrees Real Estate. And I have Katie Spaulding that I partner with, who's another agent. And the two of us together help support all of our short-term rental buyers and sellers. So we have acquisition and sales division. And we're kind of the best, I think, at going out and and finding the properties, helping to run your run your profit and loss statements, make sure that this is going to meet all of your real estate investment goals.
So let's give a shout out to Katie because she came down this morning to the studio. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I think we heard her. I think we can hear her in there. So Katie's here for moral support. She's also been taking video. So I got to say, you know, being on radio, we rarely get video. So I can't wait to see what comes out of this. And we also have another guest here, and he's from my office in Stockton Mortgage, Cole Shadowin. Cole, welcome down to the studio.
Hello.
And for the record, you guys can't see him, but if you've seen Top Gun Maverick, Cole looks just like Rooster. I'm just telling you right now, I came back from that long trip and Cole had this mustache. I said, Cole, where'd you get that mustache? And then I went and saw Top Gun Maverick. I'm like, spot on, bro. He looks like Miles Teller, doesn't he?
I asked him about it too. Yeah, he was very inspired by the movie.
So, and I believe you and Cole have worked together before, and that's how he introduced me to you, to say, come on down and let's hear some stuff because you got some good stuff going on. So
we had a great experience with him, and you know, we work with a lot of mortgage brokers. We went from two sales to about 30 a year. So it was great to work with him. Communication was great. I mean, it really stood out to us. I took his name and his number. I put it on my website under the resources section because it takes a lot to impress me. And we were both very impressed with how he handled his business.
Awesome. You don't get a raise, Cole. Good job. No, that's so good. So all right. So we're in this. We've established your expertise. You know, it's really unique concept. I applaud you for coming through and bringing new things to the market because I think. You look at the market itself, and there's so many different ways to get in. And I love that you found something that there was a need for, and you filled that need. That's so cool that you could do that. I'll call you a pioneer, Jonathan. How about that? If I'm going for it, I'm gonna get you a T-shirt. Pioneer.
Thank you. Maverick.
So what would you say has been the most eye-opening thing in the last 2 years of real estate as you're doing this? But because it sounds like you've touched it all. You've done real estate transactions, as the standard realtor would do, and then you've done property management, and you had an idea before going in. What has been the eye-opening moment or the aha or anything that didn't or exceeded expectations that you had?
I would say that the biggest eye-opener that I've had in real estate is how quickly things can change, the market landscape. You list one property 1 week and it goes for X amount and you have, five showings and two offers. And, the next month you'll list an almost identical property and, the price is higher. It's a lot more competitive. The next week you go in and, a lot slower. I mean, it's up and down all the time. And no two transactions are the same, no two sellers, no two agent dynamics. I mean, people don't realize, you get two agents together on different sides of the table. If, one has something to prove and the other one, is just kind of going about their business, they can, still butt heads, and that can be, problematic for the transaction. You could have sellers who have different and buyers who have different things in mind that they want to accomplish or feelings about how things can go or how significant, a repair issue might be. And these things make or break transactions.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting to me how every property, every transaction, everybody is different. And, people ask me, what do you think we should offer? What do you think is going to happen in this transaction? And most of the time, I'm like, I tell you what, I have almost seen too much to be able to tell you because this could literally anything could happen. We can lowball them and get accepted. We can give them asking, and then they get 14 offers, and we're 100,000 over before before noon tomorrow. So anything can happen at any time in real estate.
Yeah, and and that prevents you from having a one size fits all solution, right? Like you literally have to take each case individually, research it, ask the questions, and then kind of tell them, all right, where are you comfortable, right? As a consumer, what do you want to offer and how high can you go? And and then try to, wing in a prayer and hope that it goes, right?
You're exactly right. The expertise in the real estate agent comes in the advice and the guidance that they give, because we can pull comps and, I say, I would not pay more than this for this house based on the comps, but it is more competitive and the appraisals are still coming in to justify that. So then you have to, kind of retool your strategy. But as you're helping people through the process, process. It's the expertise in, I've seen this 100 times before, mm-hmm. that helps them, you know, in the pitfalls to not, you know, leave, you know, as a seller, leave too much money on the table, as a buyer, offer too much, or, you know, not ask for this to be done or XYZ to be done. And I know just enough to be dangerous, especially like on a lot of the construction side. Mm-hmm. I can figure out, you know, something's going to need a retaining wall repair. I mean, you're looking at $50,000 right there in, mm-hmm. you know, the next couple of years. It's going to need a new roof in 2 years. That's about, you know, 2025. You know, you need to be able to estimate these things and all, and point them out to your clients. I think that we've saved ourselves a lot on not offering on properties, just as well as we've done in securing the property for our client too.
You know, having been I'm a 25-year veteran of the game, even though I started when I was 12. I'm joking. You know, I really have found that the buyers are more educated now, mm-hmm. especially the younger generation. I think they've done their homework. They've done so much research. They have a lot of faith in what's posted online. Mm-hmm. You know, we know not everything's truthful, but but if you do enough research, like they come to us. Like when I first started the mortgage business in 1998, the only three questions borrower asked me was, what's my rate? What's my payment? How much does it cost to close? Mm-hmm. Everything outside of that didn't really matter. But now, you know, people come with, okay, what is an APR? What are points? You know, they do a lot more research. So I think as a real estate agent, as a mortgage professional, or anybody in this game, you've got to up your game. Like, mm-hmm. you've got to research and you've got to study. And I can tell that you are a student of this game. And so here's my might be an unfair question, but I feel like you have a perspective. Where do you see us going in the next 5 years in real estate? What do you think about the future? How are you planning for it with 6 degrees and the real estate activities you're doing?
Well, I certainly think that there will always be a human element to real estate, as much as people think that it can be automated away. You know, look at the iBuyers, Zillow. I mean, how many hundreds of millions of dollars did they lose in that process, you know, of buying mm-hmm. property? And what is their end game? To repair it, to sell it, to improve it? I know that right now we have a housing shortage. I think a lot of that is due to, people who are selling properties to REITs and to hedge funds. I don't know what their end game is on this either, but I know that they are buying, you know, hundreds of entry-level properties at a time. So access to housing is going to be hard. Apartments are going up left and right, but they're not cheap. I mean, you know, your mortgage is still a lot less than what your rent is, but mm-hmm. finding a house, getting in there, getting enough money together for your down payment, all of that is difficult. So future of real estate is, you know, I think that there are going to be more people renting than want to rent. I think that finding entry-level houses for people are going to be difficult. I think that affordable housing is going to be hard because nobody can build it at today's prices without major government subsidies. But the human element of it, I think that there's always going to be a place for top-performing agents. I think that there's going to be a lot of automation that comes in to help them continue to do their business. I think there will be fewer agents at the top, but more support staff kind of underneath to help things go along. I think that people want a better quality of service and what agents are providing. So you have to be able to step up to the plate and provide that top-notch kind of luxury experience, no matter what the price point is for people. And I think that people are going to be trying to sell their own houses too. And that's one thing that I've wanted to do, is to be able to provide a service where if you want to list and sell your own property, I'm happy to help you do that for a big discount on that, because that's the future. People have the skill set to do it. But as realtors, we like to keep our arms around all of this and keep it tight and not let it go at all, because people don't have access to MLS to put their pictures in the listing. And, you know, I think that that's going to be the future for a lot of people, and saving a lot of money on those real estate fees.
Man, that is a great perspective. I'm in agreement with about 98% of everything that you said. And I've always preached, I've gone around, I get the luxury of teaching classes for the Kentucky Realtor Commission. And I've told, you know, realtors, I've warned them, look, technology is taking over. Here's what I see. I'm like, don't be afraid of paperless, be afraid of peopleless. So if you want to stay relevant and you want to keep the human element, you've got to adjust and adapt to whatever the market that's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, you know, loan applications were taken by hand. Now it's all automated. And you know, and we're not saying anything bad about them, but their initials are Rocket Mortgage. But they have found the way for borrowers to really do their own application and run their own approval. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what they're doing. Now, you know, in that, my only defense is that, you know, buying your first home is a financial decision, similar if you were getting a major surgery for your health. You wouldn't want to do that without the assistance of a professional.
Right.
But I think what you're saying is the responsibility is on the professionals to adapt to the market, and you see those changes coming, and I'm in agreement with you.
Absolutely.
So do you remember when we sat down, I said, we'll run out of time before we run out of stuff to talk about?
Are we out of
We've
time?
Done that. Now, here's what we got. We got 2.5 minutes, and I want you to take this time now to, A, tell people how can they become a customer of yours, how can they get a hold of you, tell us your website, share all that with the listeners this morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have you back on a show at the end of this year. I want to see how things ended, or we'll go maybe in the first part of the year, because I want to just see how much things have progressed since the time we sat down today.
Sure. Well, thank you for that. Yes, Jonathan Klunk, 6 Degrees Real Estate. So our website is 6degreesre.com. I also have more information on our KeySource website, gokeysource.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at Top Louisville Agent, Facebook at Top Louisville Realtor, only because they won't let me change it for some reason. I have a big social media presence. That's where I like to communicate with people, share information, you know, kind of in a nice curated experience. Yes, please follow me for more information there.
Yeah, and I think Cole told me you have over 15,000 followers right now.
Yes.
Man, I would almost
most of those are real.
I would call you hometown influencer. Hey, everybody. So this is Jonathan Klunk. What an expert. And if you missed any part of this, we'll be posting tomorrow on social media and with a copy of our interview. You can catch all those numbers. We ask it. Highly endorse him. Reach out for him. He's a great person, and he'd be a great person to work with. That's what's come through as expertise, and that's what you need. So you can catch us every week here at ESPN 680 or 105.7 or live streaming on ESPNLouisville.com. Stick around after the break. Nick and Phil will be here with the Sunday Morning Hangover. Be blessed, everyone.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.